tonight's Walking Dead recap is just 60 seconds away. But first, I want to thank our friends over at TrueCar who sponsored tonight's episode. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need to get the pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want, and TrueCar is going to show you what other people in your area are paying for that car, and you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. Once you register, you'll see the real pricing on the actual inventory. That's the competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, and you'll feel confident when you're there. Then with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy that quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process too when they connect with the TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 6 is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead post-show recap. And now, here are the two people who have on their podcasting smocks. I'm Rob Sisson here with Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
Well, Rob, I've got a little touch of the tetanus. Apparently, I wasn't wearing the right protective gear while I was making my metal sculptures, and it all went to hell.
It's garbage, people. What is going on this junkyard?
I don't know, but I don't care.
What does the A stand for?
Well, Rob, this is an interesting throwback to a couple of different scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're fans of the show and they watched the part where that was the letter on the trailer in Terminus.
Yeah.
And then was the letter written on the outside of the church. And then later on, it was a letter that was written on Daryl's prisoner smock when he was Negan's prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just trying to keep that narrative through line.
Keep the theme going. I mean, well, season 8 is supposed to be the season of looking back. So I guess that, of course, Jadis is so meta.
She's super meta. Like she's been a fan of the show, I guess, and she's excited to be part of the cast, which makes one of her.
Fan she is, and so it goes. And so we have a lot to talk about here. A really jam-packed episode of The Walking Dead. I really was not expecting much from this episode tonight. I felt like, okay, well, this is probably going to be the stinker episode of the season, and not just because we were going to see the garbage people, but we knew they were going to be in the mix, although not too much to do with the garbage people. But I felt like this was going to be we're going to catch up with all of the peripheral characters that we hadn't seen a lot of. But that really wasn't the case, even though we did check in really with Carl and Rosita and Michonne for the first time this season. And so they had parts to play, much like King Ezekiel. But pretty much almost everybody, at least from the good guys, was in the mix tonight.
Yeah, it seemed like we checked in with just about everybody except Negan and Father Gabriel, mm-hmm, and Dwight and Eugene.
Yeah. So pretty much everybody that we didn't get to see last week, where we had sort of like the sanctuary centric episode. So a lot of stuff going on. Of course, Josh Wigler and I will be back together for our feedback show coming up on Wednesday. So get your questions in for us, TWD at postshowrecaps.com, or go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. And feel free to subscribe to the podcast too, so you don't miss any of it when you go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. And we appreciate your feedback and star ratings there even more than Jadis appreciates wire sculptures of small animals.
And she's got like a whole menagerie in there. It's like something out of Tennessee Williams.
Okay. This was a weirdly titled episode, too. They called this one, it was called The King, The Widow, and Rick.
I think if I was Rick, I would be insulted.
Mm-hmm, right. He gets third billing there. Also, this is the first time I went back and I looked at the title of every single Walking Dead episode in history. They don't put character names in the titles of the Walking Dead. Like they're all like sort of like abstract names. And so this was a very unusual name for the show. First time that Rick's name appears in a title of an episode. First time any character. I mean, there's a couple of things that are like there's a episode from season one of Vatos. I don't know if you consider them that, if that was a character or a club, but yeah, there's never been a, you know, proper name of a character in any Walking Dead episode title until now.
Congratulations to Rick, I guess. It seems like kind of a crappy consolation prize when he's naked in a box.
Yeah. Well, at least he got his name in the episode here in season 8. So a lot of stuff going on. I mean, some major amazing moments in this episode. Rosita blowing the guy away with the RPG. That was fantastic.
I always love a good RPG death on this show. Mm-hmm. When Daryl took care of that band of saviors, that was one of the more rewarding moments of the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did Abraham do it also? That was the same. It was the same RPG.
That was the same thing.
Yeah.
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 It was Abraham's RPG. I think Daryl was the one to fire it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little hazy. That's all in the Dwight origin story. And then Daryl out of nowhere plowing the fat lady with the garbage truck. Although this was a garbage truck unrelated to the garbage people. I thought that was a little confusing.
Yeah, that was a little confusing for a second. I thought like, oh, maybe we were meant to think this. I thought for a second that maybe Jadis changed her mind and was like coming in to rescue somebody, but no, that's just a totally different garbage truck. Maybe it was confiscated. Like maybe that was part of the deal with Negan. Like you get 15 people and you help us out of this battle and we'll take your garbage truck.
Yeah, so that was all great. Also, Carol getting ready to blow the door open and Jerry telling, you know, the door is unlocked, right?
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah.
And I think Jerry is very conscious about wasting ammunition.
Yeah. To me, that's when I feel like the Walking Dead is really hitting, when they just like do a thing that probably no other show on television would do. Like those are like the moments that are really make this show super fun in my mind.
They keep on doing this. They have this kind of last minute out of nowhere, you know, to the rescue. And it does kind of beg your belief, like, you know, in the real zombie apocalypse, it probably wouldn't happen quite this often, but it is entertaining whenever it happens.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't even know what our top story should be at this hour. What is it in your mind?
I got to think that our top story at this hour, I think it depends on how much of a comic book fanboy you are. Mm-hmm. But the introduction of a new character is a pretty big deal in Sadiq, who is a guy from the comics. He's not a main character, but he is somebody that I think there's been a lot of speculation. Is this the guy? And it turns out, yes, this is indeed the guy.
Okay, well, let's save that part of it for the comic zone. But I guess let's talk about Carl and Sadiq here. And we saw him in the first episode of the season. What went on here? Carl went out and sought this person out. He like had such a memorable encounter at the gas station that Carl went out into the woods looking for him.
Well, I think a big through line on this season has been like the value of human life and whether, you know, it's okay to kill people or let people die or save people. And I think this is kind of Carl's answer to that theme is like Rick's solution would be just let the guy go and, you know, shoot a couple of warning shots over his head. And Carl doesn't want to be like that. He doesn't want to play it the way his dad does. He thinks, if this is somebody who it could be of value to us, I want to go find that out. And he feels really bad about firing warning shots over his head and scaring him.
Mm-hmm. Just for my recollection, who is watching Judith?
I don't know. I thought it was Michonne.
Who is Alexandria?
But...
Tobin? Is Tobin the last man standing in Alexandria?
It could be Tobin.
Or was Tobin in one of these firefights? Like, I just don't know. It seems as though, in my mind, Alexandria has been completely deserted, and or Judith is holding down Alexandria.
Well, Judith is the best baby ever, so... Mm-hmm. I would vote for Judith for leader over a lot of these people.
So just a point for the idea of, okay, is bleary-eyed Rick crying over Judith, who was the only person left at Alexandria, who did not die at the hands of Negan, just died at the hands of there was nobody there. She was just neglected and starved to death.
I think that's too dark even for Walking Dead.
That's too dark for The Walking Dead.
I think
in my mind, in this show with 10,000 characters, there is not one person, there's not one character left at Alexandria that we know by name.
Yeah, there's probably an NPC in there somewhere, mm-hmm, who's watching Judith.
Yes, completely unnamed red shirt is, and maybe there's somebody that, you know, we're getting in the comments, a million people telling us, no, this person is still there. But as far as I can think of, yeah, I don't believe that there's one character who is still at Alexandria right now.
There's got to be, like, if we went down the whole census list, there's got to be someone who is A, still alive, and B, not out in the war. And it's going to be some, like, random person, like the, you know, the equivalent of the girl in the striped belly shirt on Lost that everybody kept pointing out was in the background.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I will say this much, that there is not one character who is in the credits that is in Alexandria right now.
Yeah, that is fair. Everybody else is out running around.
Okay. All right. So we have that going on. And of course, Sadiq. Do I say that right? It's not Sadiq, yeah. Like the guy, no. Dr. Bashir.
It's not like Dr. Bashir.
Yeah. Okay. So Sadiq, he has, what does he do? He loved the movie American Beauty, and he thinks that the walkers believe that a plastic bag flying around is the most beautiful thing they've ever seen. They get attracted to this.
Can I just say, most sympathetic character this episode is the walker that wanted the plastic bag. Like, just let him have the plastic bag already.
Yeah. Why not?
And I mean, cut it down, let him hold it, and then kill him.
Yeah. And why does a walker want a plastic bag? What is the attraction there? I feel like that we've heard, okay, walkers are attracted to smell, to sound, plastic bag flying around. That's another thing that attracts them. Vision.
I wouldn't imagine that their vision's got to be very great, but you know, they see movement. I guess they're attracted to movement, and the plastic bag makes some like crinkly sounds. I mean,
it is beautiful.
You have children. You know that babies love crinkly sounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that they are trying to free the souls. Are you buying this, Jess, that when you take out a walker, you free their soul?
It sure sounds a lot to me like they're clearing.
Clearing. Okay. So that's what it is. That's how he's knocked off 237 walkers.
It sounds a lot like clearing to me.
Okay. All right. So Carl and Sadiq end up like being overrun by walkers very quickly. Like, it's just that on the other side of the spectrum of things I don't love about The Walking Dead, where we spend a couple minutes of like, oh, okay, well, maybe one of our main characters is going to die just getting knocked over by a couple of walkers who came out of nowhere.
And also, they do some really stupid things. Like, what was the point of this little side quest? Just to like free some more souls? And yeah. Carl's like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. It's not like we're in a war or anything. Mm-hmm. It's not like I was supposed to be watching Judith. I'll go like kill some walkers with you, whatever. And then they get ambushed by a whole bunch of walkers. This is not the smartest decision anybody has made.
Right. And all of a sudden it's just like, oh, wait, I've never seen walkers before. Get them off me.
Yeah, it's like, what are you, Gregory?
Yeah, he went full Gregory there for a little bit. Let's talk about Rick and the garbage people, because we had speculated that, okay, there was the helicopter at the end of the episode that we were going to get this reveal that the garbage people have a helicopter. No, instead, we got a reveal in terms of Jadis's upper thigh. What is going on? Why is Jadis doing an art project naked?
Why is Jadis on this show?
I don't know. And then Rick showed up. And then in the next scene, she's like decent I get before Rick talk.
Yeah, now you're naked.
No, they can understand when somebody talks normal. Why do they have to still talk in their bizarro Superman language?
Are they like R2-D2?
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody speaks English to them and then they beep and whistle back?
Yeah. Yeah. We need C-3PO to translate what the garbage people are saying.
Yeah. I'm so over the garbage people. Why are they still here? Why isn't the helicopter firebombed them yet?
Yeah. And why was this a thing where Jadis was going back and forth with Rick? Shot you. You grazed me. Shot you. Grazed. All right. Who cares?
Is it like, I mean, she was hitting on him before. Like, were we supposed to see some sexual tension there? Were they going to make out?
I don't know.
I was going to say, were they going to get naked? But that apparently has no relation to.
They were both naked separately, but not in front of each other. And we don't need to get into what goes on in that trailer that Rick was in that he was able to peep through as he was watching Janus walk by and tag his shelter. I don't understand. Yeah, she's just like, trust you, shot you. Like, yeah, but let's move past that. Can't. Keep saying same thing.
What is this? Like, why? At the end of all of this, we're going to be able to take this whole garbage people arc. We're going to be able to lift it out of the show and put it aside. It'll be like being able to watch The Phantom Menace without Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm. Are there people that are loving the garbage people? I would love to know from any of the people that listen to this podcast. If anybody was like, yes, garbage people. And not like ironically, like, oh, I love the garbage people, that this is like the best in like a Sanjaya sort of way. Is there anybody that's like legitimately, I love the garbage people, I love Jadis, I want more of that in this show?
Well, I think the actress is fine. She's just playing a stupid role that shouldn't be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the singular joy of the garbage people, I think to a lot of people, is the back and forth that goes on Twitter with people trying to one-up each other on who can come up with the best pun-filled, trash-related nickname for the group.
Okay, what do you got? What have you heard?
Well, Heapsters is the one I think the actress herself prefers.
Yes, which is that is immediately disqualifying in my mind.
I heard a great one today on Twitter. I saw Junkyardigans.
Junkyardigans. Okay, I like that.
I feel like there was something with dumpster.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It seems like that there was one of the garbage people that seems like he talks normal. According to my closed captions, that guy's name was Brian.
Yeah, it was like Brian with an O. So, yeah. You know what? You're still a garbage person because you can't spell your name correctly.
Yeah, he was Brian before the apocalypse. I would love a garbage people flashback too. I need to see what Jadis was before all of this happened.
I want like 15 minutes of that episode needs to be all of them sitting around the garbage table talking about what they're going to call their group.
Like with King Ezekiel. Okay. Oh, what is with King Ezekiel? Why is he the way that he is? Okay. And you sort of got the backstory of, okay, he worked at the zoo. He was able to, you know, get the tiger. People listened to him. He played this character. Like they made, here's a wacky character. They made that make sense. The garbage people is just wacky for the sake of wacky, and there's no way they could make this make sense. Like, why do they have to be in some sort of like cockamamie formation that means nothing unless you had like an aerial camera of what they were doing? Like, unless you had a drone.
The garbage copter.
Yeah, the garbage copter so that they know where to land the thing. It's just none of it. There's no practical reason why any of this would be.
Well, you know what it looked like to me? I don't know if you ever saw the really excellent HBO original movie about Temple Grandin.
No.
Starring Claire Danes. But there was a moment in that where she is watching the cows move around in the field and she gets the idea to design this chute for slaughtering them based on the patterns that they move in. And it looked a lot like the cows moving in the Temple Grandin pattern to me.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some method to that madness.
I don't know if there's anything that could explain away the garbage people adequately, but I think I, like you, would love to see them try.
Yeah. Jess, could we just go back to Rick's motivation here to go see the garbage people? So we have this siege going on of the Savior. Seems like everything is like clockwork. Why did Rick, in the middle of this sort of like a 2-day siege, camp out waiting for Negan and the Saviors to come out of the sanctuary? Why is Rick here?
I don't understand why Rick is so adamant that he needs these people for anything. Like, why can't he just let them take and not bother?
All right, I just left the whole thing going on with Negan to tell you guys we're going to beat Negan. We need to have peace with the garbage people.
Why? Why?
Yeah, no, you don't.
It really bothered me you picked the wrong side, Jadis. Just so you know, we're going to win.
Yeah, but she only grazed him, so she must secretly like him.
Mm-hmm. Capture you, I will. Capture you now. Now you go in cage.
Your clothes smell better than anybody else's in the garbage heap.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, there's so much that is still unknown with the garbage. All right, let's not get stuck here too much. Although then Jadis, and she had to take Rick's clothes off at the end of the episode.
Yeah, let's. I would say let's not spend too much time on this thing that, again, I think at the end of all of this, we're going to be able to write off as entirely irrelevant to anything that happens.
Okay. All right. Well, then you want to talk about what was going on with Maggie and Gregory and Jesus. And so other prisoners were taken earlier in the season. They were brought to the hilltop. They didn't know what to do with them. I guess this was more humane to have them in some sort of do you call this like a free range prison that Maggie has set up at the hilltop?
Yeah. Or if you want to be fancy about it, you can do that. Or you could just say fence.
Yeah. So she put up a fence. We have Gregory, who I have to say, after everything he's been through, still looks pretty dapper. I mean, his shirt looks still like very cleanly pressed, it's nice. It's not like sweaty. He doesn't have like ring around the collar or anything like that. But he has to always put his 2 cents in. And finally, Maggie eventually had enough of Gregory.
Yeah, I don't understand why they even let him back in the first place. And I was kind of hoping that the way they were going with this, when they had this conversation where, you know, he said, you can't let these people in. You can't let somebody in that you don't trust. They can't be within our walls. Maggie should have been like, yeah, you're right. We trust them more than you, and just like kicked him out.
Well, we did eventually get there, but not before.
Well, they
Gregory
put him in prison.
No,
with-
no, not that. Anything but that. No, no, you can't put me in there.
That was worth it for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand like why he was so upset about getting thrown in the pen with the Saviors. Like, what does he think is going to happen? It's a fence. Everybody can see them. They're not going to like beat him senseless. I mean, someone's going to be enforcing. I mean, they might, yeah. But it's not, you know, he's not in a cell with them unsupervised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just behind a fence out in a field. That's not the worst thing that's ever going to happen to him. Is he that much of a wuss?
Yes. And like, he's like trying to
take him to Terminus.
I didn't even do anything. I didn't even do it. Like, it would have been nice to see like Maggie. Oh, really, Gregory? You didn't do anything? Didn't you tell everybody that to turn me in?
Yeah. Didn't you try to sell us out to the Saviors?
Yeah. Didn't you meet with Negan behind my back? Come on, Gregory. Pat, you got my last nerve. So
he's the worst.
He is, but also
not
the best.
He's the second worst.
No, he's not. I don't like. I find Gregory very amusing.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's a human pincushion to me. I love to see him get his ass kicked.
I love to hate him. I think.
Yeah.
It's not like with the garbage people that I just hate them. I actually, Gregory brings something to the table, even if that something is like messing up everybody's plans on the good guy's side.
Right. He's a fun sniveling character to have kicked around every week. Jeff Davis sent us a tweet. Why haven't they killed Jared yet? I get that killing unarmed people who surrender is wrong, but that guy definitely needs to be killed. I mean, this is a great point, Jess. Why have they not killed those people or killed that guy in particular? We saw Maggie end up saying when she was going to bring everybody into the jail jail cell. She's like, all right, we're taking a chance. We're bringing you guys in here. If you make us regret it, you're going to regret it. Don't even try us, you people. And then here's this guy who is like time and time again is the biggest douche in the prison. When are we going to see Maggie go full on Daenerys Targaryen and just kill this guy and make an example of him to the other prisoners?
Yeah, I mean, if I was her, I'd already regret it. That guy sucks.
The guy really sucks. She's just like, look, I can't even with you. Stop it. Knock it off.
I mean, the only reason that she might be keeping him around is for like the narrative tension of, you know, his death being able to be avenged by that dude's younger brother.
Yeah, I guess so. But does she know about narrative tension?
I mean, she probably shouldn't, but she might. Mm-hmm. That might be the reason that it's happening.
You're saying this guy has plot armor that little kid has to kill him?
Yeah, that little kid has to kill him.
What about Morgan?
Morgan could kill him. That seems more likely, actually.
Yeah. Where did Morgan go?
He went for a hike. He went on walkabout.
He's just like, he went total clear the last time we saw him, and now he's just like off on his own thing.
Yeah, like, he's doing some nature walking.
He's not in the kingdom. He's not at the hilltop.
No, he's out there. He will reemerge at some beneficial point when it looks like the chips are down for somebody and they need an extra guy to jump in and save them. That's what Morgan does.
He's in David S. Pumpkins mode. He's his own thing right now.
Yes, he is his own thing. Any questions?
A lot. He's in the preview for next week, so we'll catch up with Morgan. So we mentioned Carol with the little kid. First off, I just want to say also thank you to The Walking Dead. Give more kids for Carol. That is such a reliable, foil for Carol to have in. Who was the little kid that Carol said she was going to tie up to the tree? That was great. Carol teaching the kids how to use weapons at the jail was great. Carol with this kid was great. I love Carol with the children.
Yeah, I want Carol to like start her own version of the Boy Scouts and like just take them out on retreats and have the Carol Scouts, and they can all have uniforms and dress like her and follow her around and ask questions, and she can threaten them. It would be wonderful.
Ironically, the least interesting kid that was ever with Carol was Sophia.
Yeah, it's true. There was not much to be said about Sophia, but I think Carol, as the mother to all, once she lost her boring kid, there's been a lot out of that. And I think if I was a kid and I knew about any of the other kids that had hung around Carol, I probably would be so keen to hang out with her. But,
well, Carol is great because, you know, we have these stupid kids that are doing dumb stuff. And, you know, Carol, she will like, she'll act this role where she's around other adults about how she's like, sweet Carol a lot of times. But with these kids, she really does let her guard down. And we see him. What's the kid's name? Do we remember? Is it important?
Henry.
And like, he's like, you know, battling like a couple of walkers, and he's not even doing it right. And she'll always go into like, listen, you little putz, knock it off. What do you think you're doing out here? You stupid idiot. You dumb kid. Stop it. It's great.
It is great. And I like that this is real Carol. And I think we get this conversation between Carol and Ezekiel where she talks about how, you know, she puts up this front and she has to pretend that everything's okay. And she has to act the part because that's what she's called upon to do. And I like that the people that she lets her guard down with and is real with are little kids and Ezekiel.
Okay. All right. Jess, that we have some breaking news as we are recording the podcast tonight.
Are we sure? Like, this looks like a troll.
It's a troll?
This looks like a
breaking
troll tweet.
News are happening now.
Okay. Jess, that people are reporting that the crossover character from Fear the Walking Dead to The Walking Dead is... maybe we find out where Morgan is going now. Morgan is going to cross over.
No way.
Yeah.
That's got to be a troll.
It's not. It's being widely reported.
It's being reported by one person on Twitter.
Okay, one person to us, but that people are tweeting about it nonstop.
Oh my God, it is.
Yeah, Lenny James will cross over to Fear the Walking Dead. Now, we are recording this at the same time that The Talking Dead is on. They've just announced it. I mean, how is that possible?
That doesn't even make any sense with the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what? I thought he stuck around Rick's hometown the whole time that, you know, we haven't been with him. Wasn't he just clearing?
That's what you would have thought, unless that Fear the Walking Dead is going to have such a time jump coming up that they're going to end up being closer in time than we expect.
That makes very little sense, too, because don't we have to figure out what happened at the end of the last season on Fear the Walking Dead? We got to figure out that whole thing with the dam and like who actually survived. And are we just going to jump ahead 5 years and never explain any of that? And like, oh, look, everybody's all back together. It's like it never happened.
I don't know. We still have a lot to process in terms of this episode, but keep that on the back burner. Is it possible that Morgan, when he left the hilltop, he went to go find Madison?
That's very possible. And Morgan and Madison is actually a confrontation I would like to see.
Okay, Morgan, I need you to help me clear a few things. Nick, where are you? Tabitha the goat. Gonna make some cheese. Bring it to Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Morgan.
I hope he packed his bolo tie. He's gonna go have Christmas with Madison.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be another one to figure out. I guess at least it wasn't Jadis.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was Jadis, I'm not sure. I put up with a lot on Fear the Walking Dead. I'm not sure that might be a bridge too far.
Okay. All right. So, Jess, that's what's going on up at the hilltop. Then some other crazy stuff was going on at the end of the episode at the hilltop. So apparently Aaron and Enid are going to go on a road trip. I'm hoping that this will be on some webisode version of The Walking Dead and not on the main show.
Yeah, they were like, definitely,
we're gonna pack a while because we're gonna be gone. Like, okay, well, good. I hope that this is like one of those like Heath type adventures that Aaron and Enid are gonna go on.
Aaron and Enid are definitely the reality TV wrap ups crew.
I mean, really, Aaron and Enid. I mean, could you come up with a? I mean, I like Aaron. I wish that they would do more with him. I feel like that he's like the actor is like is funny. He does a lot of impressions, but I mean that. Okay, so he lost the Eric storyline. He's very bummed out about Eric. But I mean, to pair him and Enid up together.
Yeah, I thought his arc was going to be that he was going to raise Gracie, and that's a spinoff show I would watch, is like this bereaved single father raising his adopted daughter in the zombie apocalypse. That writes itself. This, I don't know, inconsequential.
Where are they going?
They might end up going the same place that, like, they're going to run into the same outpost that Michonne and Rosita and Daryl and Tara met up at.
It's supposed to be an all-out war. It's not optional war. Everybody is supposed to be has a job to do in the war right now. That there's no time for Aaron and Enid's excellent adventure.
It's not all-out war, but with some road trips.
Yes. So I don't know where they're going or what they're doing or who they even report to right now, but they are off to go on some wacky adventure of their own. Who haven't we talked about tonight?
Let's see.
Well, Carol and everything going on with King Assface.
Yeah, we did. We didn't really talk about Michonne.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about it. Let's just touch on Carol and Ezekiel. And again, Ezekiel at a crossroads.
But he still doesn't seem like he's at a crossroads so much as like stalled on the side of the road.
Yeah, you think that he's going to come back? Because I actually kind of like this from Ezekiel, because we talked about how, you know, he was due for a comeuppance. And I like that he's not at the end of like one like pep talk from Carol ready to I will rise again like the Phoenixes.
Well, I think you make a good point that I think Carol makes a very good point that she needed more than one pep talk from him to come back from the brink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think she's making the point, this is what we do for each other now, and you're going to have to do the same thing I'm doing, and it's not easy, and I know it's not going to, it's going to take more than like 5 minutes of little half smiles from me, but you're going to get there, and I'm not giving up.
I like that they brought it back with him with the, I let all my people die, and yet I smile.
Yeah, and he, yeah, I knew it was terrible, and I was still smiling.
Yeah. We find out that the reason why Ezekiel had a thing for Carol, she made him feel real.
Yeah, they seem like they bring out a real side to each other. And I think they're going to get real, real with themselves before Ezekiel comes back from the brink. And
you think that's how Ezekiel gets his groove back?
I'm saying that's exactly how Ezekiel gets his groove back.
Let's talk about the Michonne and Rosita road trip in this episode. And they go out. What was the purpose of them leaving? That they wanted to see the sanctuary?
Well, and again, it's like everybody has a role. Like, you're not doing your job. You have a job in this war. And they apparently decide they're going to go on a side quest and they need to see it from themselves. Like, wasn't it enough to get a letter at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't even talk about the letter. We got a great tweet from one of the listeners asking if this episode was directed by Ken Burns. That's from Byron Hussey on Twitter. Yeah, what did you think about that? That was like very Civil War movie of like out here on the front lines, war is hell. You have no idea what it's like out here. Somehow I took time to write a letter, even though the war has only been going on for a day.
I saw Ken Burns in an airport once.
Yeah.
And spent the entire, and we were on the same flight. The flight was delayed. And so my husband and I sat there for the hour or so that the flight was delayed, like narrating what was going on in the airport in like Ken Burns narration style.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
It was just such a weird device to open the episode.
Yeah.
It's like the cold mountain of Walking Dead.
It was very much like, I feel like maybe a recurring theme this season is every episode has 10 minutes of ridiculous cold open that you don't actually need. So it's like if you're getting home late, you don't necessarily need to start the DVR exactly at 9 o'clock.
They're going to slowly get you into the pool each episode, just a little bit, one toe at a time. All right,
it's a lukewarm open.
Right. So Rosita and Michonne, they ultimately, they hear this music. They stop the car just like in the middle of the road and get out to go and check it out. And they end up finding, I guess what Negan was talking about, the fat lady. We had speculated it could be the helicopter. No, that Negan has like a car ready to go with opera and speakers, I guess, in the case of some sort of like walker herd, which there was that herd approaching for a while. And it seemed like that the saviors knew it was coming. So I guess that this was something that had been in the works. But I thought that we were going to get the introduction of some new characters tonight. I kind of like those two people that were working on the fat lady.
Yeah, that seemed all right. I mean, for a second, when they were pulling up to that outpost and they heard the opera, I thought, oh, did Andy Dufresne get into Negan's office? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what those two ladies were singing about, but I have to think it was something that was so beautiful you couldn't put it into words.
Did Michonne and Rosita, did they offer their services to the All Out War for a couple of cult beers?
Yep, 3 beers each for each of their colleagues. And then the one guy, he was going to get busy living or get busy getting shot with an RPG.
So that was a fun sequence where they were, on the chase through that warehouse with the tennis balls being kicked around. And then really just a great moment where Rosita blows that guy away. Did you find that to be realistic? It looked like that the guy just sort of like it was like he got hit with a phaser on Vaporize.
Yeah, that seemed like I am
not
an expert.
He just disappeared when the thing hit him.
But it sure seems like that thing should have blown up the entire, like, half of the building.
Right. Like, there should have been, like, some blowback on it.
I'm not an expert on weapons, but I think you're not supposed to fire those indoors.
No, probably not. And then ultimately, then the woman who was with him, I think that her name was Zia, according to my closed captioning. She ended up escaping only to be hit by Daryl and Tara in the garbage truck.
Yeah, I mean, that was like garbage truck ex machina here.
Yes, just out of nowhere. I mean, how did Daryl and Tara know that that was, you know, a bad guy going off?
Yeah, and this outpost sure seems to be on like one of the main roads between Alexandria and the Sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
because it seems like everybody's on this same road.
Yeah.
And I thought the outposts would be a little better hidden than that.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem as though like that they jumped out of the car, like they were going to, like whatever savior was coming out, they were just going to ram them. It did seem like that was a bit fortuitous that they just decided to, okay, it must be a savior car. Let's ram these guys. And, you know, then there weren't 100 other saviors with machine guns just ready to kill Daryl and Tara that jumped out.
Yeah. It seemed like maybe they cut out 20 minutes of them casing the joint, but it sure doesn't seem like it.
Maybe. We got to see Tara and Daryl talk, and they were discussing about how Dwight is going to get it.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what's going on here either. Like, why are they so mad at Dwight?
Well,
I mean, I know why Tara's mad at him.
Yes.
But it seems like Daryl all of a sudden is like, this guy was helping us, and he's not as much help as I'd like, so I'm going to kill him.
I think that something switched on Daryl, that, you know, he's beating up Rick. I don't know exactly what happened to Daryl, but it's like he's got a screw loose now. He's gone clear also.
Yeah, I was about to say, is he going to start clearing now?
Yeah, I think that Daryl is just clearing away, and I'm not sure exactly where it stops right now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I thought that he and Dwight had this kind of uneasy rapport. And they were, you know, moving toward an alliance, but I guess not.
Yeah. All right. And so I liked when Daryl stopped Rosita Michonne. It's like, why are you guys out here? Like, well, what are they, grounded? They're punished?
Yeah, they were on bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they were, quote unquote, recovering. And I thought that's such a BS excuse, because it seems like people get shot. Like, Rick got shot and he was out and
grazed,
around, I guess.
Grazed. Wasn't shot.
Yeah. And I thought it was just like such a transparent excuse. Like, when there's an actress on a show who's pregnant and has to be off the show for a little while, and they put her in like really baggy clothes, and then all of a sudden she's like on a trip for several episodes. That's what this felt like. Like, Michonne being in recovery from her injuries, it seems like she was out of commission for a really long time.
Yeah. Do you feel like that it was because that she was involved in shooting for the Black Panther movie?
Yeah, I think she had better things to do, and they were writing around it.
Well, what's Rosita's excuse then?
I don't know what Rosita's excuse is. I think she may have other projects on the back burner as
well. Maybe. Did you think that the music coming from the Fat Lady speakers were going to be another Weird Al song?
I didn't think it was going to be opera. I think I'll leave it at that. Like, I imagine that the saviors all listen to like 38 Special and, you know, Molly Hatchet. But maybe I'm stereotyping.
All right. Jess, let's talk through some of the tweets that we got. Unless there's anything else from the episode that you want to hit.
No, I think we've hit all the high points.
Okay. And a lot of the low points as well.
many low points.
Yes, a lot of stuff going on. By the way, what about Alden? Alden the prisoner. You think he's a good guy?
I think he's trying to charm his way.
He's no angel.
I assumed that this was going to be one of those cases where he was going to be dead by the end of the episode. And it was just going to be like a lot of pointless monologuing. And we were supposed to like sort of kind of maybe be invested in him. And then he was going to die. That's where I thought it was going. And it ended up that he's still around, but he's probably going to die soon.
Yeah. Maybe we need to have like one prisoner who is the good guy who then we could sort of like say like, oh, see, like Maggie is right for, and Jesus was right for doing all the, like if they're all a-holes, then, you know, Jesus just looks like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like he's kind of cute. He's kind of flirting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into some questions from our listeners tonight. You can also tweet us right after the show to get our questions into the recap. And so let's go to a question. This is from Riley. He says, is it just me or in that final shot of Rick in the garbage people prison, aka the trash bin, remind you of Ned in the Red Keep cells near the end of Game of Thrones season one? Who's the Walking Dead Varys that's going to try to save Rick? Do you think that one of the garbage people will try to give Rick a helping hand?
Well, there's the one guy that seems to still use like pronouns and linking
still
verbs.
Speak the common tongue.
Yes. So
dreams
maybe,
and threats and dreams.
Yeah, maybe that guy will be an unexpected ally.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Dominic M. What would you do with the Savior prisoners? How do you grade Maggie's leadership of the Hilltop? What's her blind spot, if any?
I think Maggie's doing a great job with what she's got right now.
Yeah.
I think she's walking down the center line right now. And I think she is she's not going to be able to do this forever, but right now she's able to please everybody because she can say, look, we're not killing them. Check it out, Jesus. Everybody is fine. But comes a point where maybe everybody won't be fine. So everybody that was in favor of killing them, haven't ruled it out. We're just going to keep them around for now. We need them for leverage. It's really, I thought it was very masterfully handled.
Yeah. She got mad at Jesus because he was giving away the turnips.
Yeah, nobody wants
turnips.
Turnips
to be nice. Yeah,
that might be her blind spot.
That's
there.
Her blind spot. Nobody
like
likes
finding
her.
Finding value in turnips.
Yeah, you might as well go full terminus before you go turnipus.
Turnipus.
Sorry.
That was weak sauce, and weak sauce tastes like turnips.
Okay. This is a tweet from Kyle Deck. 280 characters allows people to ask multiple questions in one tweet, Jess. You tell me if we've covered it or have not covered it so far in this podcast, okay? He's got five questions for us.
Damn.
Okay. Question one. Why were the trash people nudist first the cold open? I think that he asked that question in garbage people language.
Well, covered it, we did.
Okay. Could the CGI have been worse on the bazooka?
CGI was pretty bad. We did not cover that because it was so bad.
Has it really only been 36 hours since the end of season 7?
It seems like it's impossible, but I would buy that more than I would buy that it has been only a couple of months between season 6 and season 7.
Okay, so it has been more than 36 hours since the end of season 7. It has not been more than 36 hours from the beginning of season 8. Like, this was not like it's not like that Sasha has been dead for 2 days. That there had to have been a couple of weeks in between the events of the season 7 finale and them putting together this plan here at the start of season 8. Even if
I
it's just
so.
Like 2 weeks.
I think season 8 has probably been like a few days, but there was some time they needed to kind of make a plan. They needed to weld all that corrugated metal onto their cars. They needed to set up explosives.
Yeah.
They haven't been working on that all along. Like, they don't have a bunch of guys in the metal shop doing this 24/7, just in case.
There's been some time. I mean, not a lot of time because Maggie is still like 1 month pregnant, but there was a little bit of a time jump.
Well, Maggie is clearly pregnant with an elephant.
Okay. Why is Gregory still turning oxygen into carbon dioxide? So we didn't cover that. Why not kill Gregory? Does Gregory have any advocates?
I think at this point,
besides us,
he's got some plot armor, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's more like, I don't think Maggie wants to get her hands dirty with it.
Yeah.
And he might have some sort of value in the negotiations.
Yeah. He's a little bit of the Screech of the Hilltop. Like, it's like that nobody really liked having Screech around. He just was always there. That they're like, oh my God, Gregory, so annoying. Ugh.
Well, he makes everybody else look cool by comparison. Maybe that's his value.
Yeah, they just keep him around. And then Kyle wants to know who greenlit the trash people story.
I think somebody. Maybe Scott Gimple was trolling. Like, he brings it to the network and like, I have this idea for these people that live in a trash heap. And, you know, they don't need to know that he was up late watching cartoons. And
yeah. All right. Then this is from Ginger Adventure. So many people to not care about in this episode. Who is worse, the garbage people or the pen people? The guys that Maggie has trapped. What would you rather see an episode all about, garbage people or the jail people?
Well, I want to see the garbage people flashback episode just because it would be so much fun to podcast about, because we'd be so full of rage by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I hate the garbage people more than anything and anyone this side of Nikki and Paolo.
That would be great if they Nikki Paolo the garbage people. I'd be all about that.
Oh, yeah. Bury them alive in garbage.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Rob Z, who tweets, I feel like I'm watching Survivor here. People are going rogue and not just sticking to the plan. Whose torch is getting snuffed? Yeah. People are doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, but the seasons where people do their own thing on Survivor, aren't those the most interesting ones rather than the one where everybody has a plan and sticks to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to watch the Redemption Island version of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Then this is for a question from Eric A. I think Maggie should do interviews with the prisoners, getting them into Alexandria, find out who wants to help and defect. Some of them do, I'm sure, but they would probably lie to her. All the saviors are liars.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
Yeah. I mean, look at the pee pants guy.
Yeah, yeah, there's the pee pants guy. I mean, he crushed the vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, of course, the great Steve Davis wants to know, if you could cross over anyone from the TWD universe, who would it be?
We're crossing them. We're taking someone from the TWD universe and putting them in FTWD.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see. Actually, I think our theory that it was going to be Abraham was the one that I would like to see the most. Because
yeah,
it's such a great character. You can't bring him back to regular Walking Dead. Like, put him in Fear the Walking Dead for a season. Like, they're heading toward Texas anyway. He can help set them up. He can, you know, he is so much fun. His little folksy terms for crude and vulgar things. And he's funny. He's competent. He's a guy you want to have around. He would bring a lot to Fear the Walking Dead.
Again, official Walking Dead _AMC, Morgan, newest member of the Fear family. Come back tomorrow, Monday, 11:27 at 4 p.m. to watch the live stream of Lenny's first day on the set.
You know, I gotta imagine it must just be a time jump. Like, we must just open Fear the Walking Dead. And like, Madison is in this Mexican village and she's been there for 3 years. And all of a sudden she meets someone from her old group, and then she meets Morgan.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if Lenny James pulled the short straw or what.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lenny James lost a bet. Lenny James and Michael Cudlitz had a bet. And whoever lost the bet had to go beyond. Had to go beyond Fear the Walking Dead.
Okay. All right. Jess, it is getting close to that time. So to the people who don't want to hear about any of the comic book implications from tonight's episode, we will leave you here. But for those of you guys who want to continue onward with Jess and I, as Jess discusses some of the Walking Dead comic book tie-ins from this episode, we're going to move forward. So if you are bouncing out now, hopefully you will join us again for the feedback show. If not, we will see you back here next Sunday to discuss episode number 7 of season 8, as we are now just 2 weeks away from the Walking Dead season 8 mid-season finale. How about that, Jess?
It snuck up on me. I can't believe there's only 2 more episodes.
And so with that in mind, Jess, we will get into the comic book zone. And I have a treat for you, Jess. I have a brand new intro to the comic book zone. This comes courtesy of one of our great listeners, Colin Latchford. Here is the Comic Book Zone.
Comic Book Zone. Tune out now as spoilers aren't what you want to know. Avoid hearing plot points about Rick or Michonne. Now's the last chance to turn off during the intro. Comic Book Zone.
Yes.
I love it so much. That's my favorite thing.
Okay. All right. So, Jess, what do you think?
So,
yes. Okay. Let's hear about all the Despacitos in the comic books.
Well, I think we got to start with Sadiq because this was something the comic readers were speculating a lot about. You see this man of quasi Middle Eastern provenance wandering around by himself and looking like he might actually join the cast and be a character of some significance. And everybody's brains immediately went, that's got to be Sadiq. And the thing I don't understand is he's not a huge character in the comics. I guess he is somewhat well-liked, but his main function, I think, is to be part of a love triangle. And, you know,
between who?
Well, this is, we're going to get super spoiler here, but in the comics, after Abraham dies, and he gets Denise's death in the comics, but after the death of Abraham, Rosita ends up taking up with Eugene.
Okay.
And it turns out that that's kind of Eugene's only through line up until very recently in the comics. Was he was like Rosita's partner, but he wasn't giving her what she needed, and so she was cheating on him with Sadiq, and she was pregnant. It was Sadiq's baby, and then she ends up dying.
Like, this
and
is very tawdry.
Yeah, this is the thing about the comics. There's so much more, like who's banging who and who's in love with who and who's partners with who. There's like, well, Josh Wigler and I used to call, like, there was a whole arc in the during the prison era where it was basically like everybody just went in the prison and boned, and we were calling it the boning arc.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's a lot more of the soap opera-y stuff about pairing people up romantically that I think, to its credit, the show has almost entirely dispensed with. And when they do pair people up, it's much more interesting pairings than you get in the comics, with maybe one exception. And as much as I am a Richonne person, I think they bring out something great in each other. In the comics, Michonne's partner is Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
And they bounce off of each other in great ways. And there's actually a scene in the comics that very much mirrors this Carol Ezekiel scene from the show this week. But instead of being a sympathetic ear and talking about, like, you make me real and you have to act in front of people, but there are people you can be real with, Michonne just punches him in the face and tells him to get over it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. And
yet I smile.
And she knocks the smile right off his face.
Knock the smile off my face, Michonne. That's why I like Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm totally here for Rick and Michonne together, and I'm totally here for Carol and Ezekiel together. But the Michonne-Ezekiel pairing in the comics was one of the better ones that they do.
Okay. In terms of tonight's episode, just to go back to Sadiq, is his introduction the same way as in the comic books as it was tonight?
He doesn't even get an introduction in the comic books. He basically just shows up after the Negan War. They open up on like several years later, and Sadiq is there. It's not clear whether he had been there all along or if he just kind of showed up. He was part of Oceanside, which is a very different thing in the comics.
Okay.
But he then moved over to Alexandria and became part of that crew.
What about everything going on at the Hilltop with Maggie and Jesus and the jail cell? Is that playing close to the comics?
There's not a ton of there's not a ton of that with hostages and like with this back and forth through line of what is the morally correct thing to do. But I think the way they are acting on the show really rings true for what the characters do in the comics, even if the actual plot points are not the same.
Okay. Aaron and Enid, first of all, are they even characters in the comic?
Aaron is a character in the comic. Enid is not a character in the comics.
All right. So do you have any idea what Aaron is up to?
Aaron is very much motivated by revenge in the comics, and he's mostly grief-stricken at this point, and it's not clear. Like, he doesn't go off on his own side quest. He's not that kind of guy in the comics, but he's really on board with this idea that we need to punish the saviors for taking Eric away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does not seem like that's where him and Enid are going, though.
No, it doesn't seem like it. I don't know why that is a thing. Although, this is my personal hot take, is that Enid is a much better character than a lot of people give her credit for. Mm-hmm. I think she's kind of great, and the more Enid we see, the better. I think she might even be one of my favorites, like next to Daryl Dixon, probably, of people that are show only characters. I mean, I think she's cool.
And what is it you like about her?
Well, I think she is resilient. The idea that she watched her parents get devoured in front of her and then kind of struck out on her own makes her somewhat of a badass. And she is a rule breaker. She and Carl have an interesting dynamic. But there's a sweetness inside of her that this whole like zombie apocalypse thing hasn't been able to touch. And so I like the way that she plays off Maggie, too. She's kind of Maggie's lieutenant at this point, and that is a valuable role as well.
Yeah, I still can't get over her and Carl roller skating way back when.
I liked it.
But I'll say that, I think that the most interesting thing about her is as like Maggie's right hand person. I think I would like to see more of that. I don't know where she's necessarily going off with Aaron, but I don't know I'm skeptical, but hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah. And I realize it makes me massively hypocritical to complain about all the shipping that goes on in the comics and then say that I liked her roller skating with Carl. But I contain multitudes.
Okay. All right. Jess, great job tonight. This was a fun recap.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Okay. All right. So do we have a hashtag for tonight? We talked about a lot of different things.
I have turnip us.
Turnip us. Yeah. See, sometimes, these terrible things I throw out there, sometimes you just need them for the hashtag, in the same way that Jesus and Maggie were stockpiling the turnips just in case they needed them.
Yeah, I think terrible puns are truly the turnips of the podcasting world.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great job. Follow Jessica Lise on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I am at Rob Sisternier. We got a lot more coming up on post-show recaps, including everything going on with Mr. Robot, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and much, much more. Our Game of Thrones ongoing rewatch and more, all on postshowrecaps.com. Check it out. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.